Open your Bible to John 14. We're just going to go to a couple of places tonight. John 14, as you hear the testimonies, you know I'm reminded of several things about us all. And then I go back all the way to Jesus and his plan for us all. And it's, hey, he wanted to save our soul, yes. He wanted us to make sure we get an entrance into heaven, yes. But he also wanted to clean our heart and put his spirit in us. And what happens is you realize that you got born again so that you could house the Holy Spirit. Your house had to get cleaned so that you could house the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so the temple had to become pure gold, which happened at salvation, so that you could house the Holy Spirit. Just like the temple of the Old Testament had to be pure gold, all this inlaid gold, everything everywhere, so the Holy Spirit could come in a pure place. You and I have been made pure gold for the purpose of housing the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We always like to remind ourselves that, hey, look, we didn't get saved just to go to heaven, because if that was the case, we would already be there. The moment that waiter said, Jesus, be my Lord, he could have disappeared and gone straight to the sky. But that's not the purpose of it all. That's the end result, maybe. That's the final expectation. That's the redemption of our body. That's the final moment. But the truth is, it's about the Holy Spirit getting to live in us. And what happens to we who especially meet the Holy Spirit in a full baptism of the Spirit and power, we all of a sudden start feeling a little taller, a little more dominant, a little more, wait a second, the house doesn't have to have sheets rattling and demons flying around and bad dreams and weird stuff. And so immediately what we recognize is, you know what? Teach me how to dominate.
Amen.
Teach me how to overcome. Teach me, I got power now. I can solve all the crisis that's been going on. And so there's always the first season of your spirit-filled life should be the house cleaning season. Should be the king of the mountain season, which I'm getting to the top of this mountain. That's it. We're changing things around here. I'm changing things in my life. I'm letting go of things. I'm cleaning house. I'm throwing away the old records. Do y'all know what records are? You're thinking, birth records? No. Vinyl records, CDs, getting rid of all the stuff, all the trash, all the stuff that's from the world, doesn't belong. And also recognize, all of a sudden we start recognizing where the demons have bothered us for too long. And we start commanding in the name of Jesus, and we start recognizing, wait a second, we're built to dominate. We're more than conquerors through him.
Right.
And because of the Holy Spirit, life changes.
Right.
And then it's worth living. Then it's honoring God because I have the Holy Spirit. And so I want to talk about the Holy Spirit in just a moment, because he's very valuable, and he's very holy, and he's very necessary, yet he's very misunderstood. It's like, it's not just you doing the things, it's the Holy Spirit in you. That's what Jesus said. He said, the Father in me, he does the works. It's the Father in you, it's the Spirit in you, it's Christ in you that actually does the thing. Like if I was to cast out a demon, it would really be the Holy Spirit in me casting out the demon. It'd be my words, it'd be me partnering with him, but it's him who rises up within me to command the storm to stop, to declare the finances in like we heard, to change things out there, to remind the whole unseen world of who I am and whose I am in Christ.
Amen.
And so it's the Holy Spirit in us that rises up. And so we need to know a little bit about him and get closer to him. In the scripture, it talks about the communion of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship, same word, fellowship and communion, same word in the Greek. Fellowship or communion or closeness to the Holy Spirit. The Greek word is koinonia. It's this intimate relationship. We're supposed to have it with one another, and we're supposed to have it with the Holy Spirit, but it's called the communion of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you having a relationship with the unseen one. Not just in thought that he's in the sky, not just in thought that he's, you know, on a picture, not just I'm watching The Chosen, I feel real close to God. No, we're not talking about outward stuff. We're talking about you with your spirit, having a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and cultivating and developing and getting through all of the uncertainties about that. Like, what does his voice really sound like? How do I know for sure what he's saying, how he's leading? How can I be confident? You know, you're trying to get confidence in having no fear and such. Well, the Holy Spirit's going to help you. Watch this. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. King James says comforter. Same word, paraclete, one who jumps with you into the foxhole. He'll give you another helper. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Stop there. Notice, what's he saying? Jesus is saying the Spirit already dwells with you. How? In the form of Jesus. Jesus and the Holy Spirit were one. He was with the disciples. He said, the Spirit dwells with you, and he shall be in you. Now, that's the great promise of the Holy Ghost. That's the promise from God to us that you can have the Holy Spirit. He shall be in you. He's with you now, but once Jesus died and rose again, then the Holy Spirit could come and be in us, and he's in us. All of a sudden, I'm not my own. All of a sudden, there's somebody else living inside me. All of a sudden, man, I'm empowered. My life is not my own, and I'm not speaking on my own authority. All of a sudden, it's the Holy Spirit in me. He does the work. If there's healing to be had, the Holy Spirit in me will help me. If there's any kind of overcoming that needs to be done, the Holy Spirit in me, he'll do the overcoming for me. We're partners together. He's my helper. He helps me. I don't help him as much as he helps me. But we're partners in this whole thing. He shall be in you. Anybody need the help of the Holy Spirit? We need him for everything. When we quote a scripture, he's helping us. He's helping us quote the scripture, then he's helping the scripture come to pass for us. He's helping our soul grasp it. He's helping our faith cling to it. He's helping us stand firm in our confidence with God. He's helping us relate to God. He's helping us communicate with God. If you'll pray in tongues, you'll know what that feels like. If you don't pray in tongues, you won't really grasp how he helps you communicate. You'll be doing it all from your brain.
Oh, no. Right, right.
I've seen so many, decent people, good Christians, love Jesus, saved to the core, but not filled with the Holy Spirit. Not clothed with Holy Spirit and power, and have no idea of the Spirit-filled life, of how close they could really be. And so you hear them pray, and it's formulated up here.
It could come from
a prayer card. It could come from a prayer list of things to say. And it usually starts off with, thank you for this and thank you for that. And I pray for my mom and you know what she's going through and all. Oh, and you know what they said and you know what this happened. And you know that she loves God. And you know she, it's a rehearsal of every detail of everything. It all comes from here. You get to the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
Now, if you get to the Holy Spirit and pray in the Spirit, it'll come from within. And you can bypass all those hairy details that God already knows. You ever pray with somebody not filled with the Spirit? Now, Lord, you know that Aunt Sally's had such a terrible time with that thing. And you know that her kids, they don't care about her. And you know, Lord. Yes, he knows. Now, would you shut up? God knows everything. The scripture, Jesus said that. He goes, he knows what you have need of before you ask. So don't put all your effort into telling him what he already knows. The only thing you have to remind God about is what he said. He only asks us to remind him, put me in remembrance of what he said. That's what you got to focus on. Not about trying to get yourself. So you have to recognize good, sweet people can pray from their mind all the time. Just mental praying. But spirit praying is where the Holy Spirit really comes in. And if you'll pray in tongues a lot, you'll get more familiar with that spiritual praying. And most of it will be in tongues, and then all of a sudden some English stuff will come that he wants you to say, and then bam, it works. So you and I pray in the Spirit a lot. We're now sensitive to the ways that the Holy Spirit works with God and us and communicates between us. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You'll never understand the fellowship of the Holy Spirit without praying in tongues a lot. Daily basis, as part of your walk with God, where your brain is unstimulated. And that's the only difficulty about tongues, is that your brain's not stimulated. Humans like their brain stimulated. Carnal, natural, the natural man wants its brain stimulated.
Right.
And its taste buds. But anyway, the natural man wants its brain stimulated. So we want to see a lot. We want to hear a lot. And if I'm not seeing a lot and hearing a lot, I'm just not happy. So I'm bored. I got to go make sure I see a lot and hear a lot and see a lot and hear a lot. The spiritual man shuts that down.
Amen.
For moments of the day and moments of the week to pray in tongues and give their spirit over to the Lord. Give their spirit over to the Holy Spirit so you can pray in tongues and bypass all of that activity up here so that you're more sensitive in the spirit. So you don't want to be a Christian. Even a spirit-filled Christian can just live a natural life up here where everything is rehearsed, everything is thought through, rationalized. Every decision you make, every spiritual thing is done up here rather than in here. And they have no leap. You and I need a leap from our heart.
Right.
He'll help you leap out of sin into righteousness. He'll help you leap one group of friends to the Christian group of friends.
Amen.
He'll help you leap out of the river of the world into the stream of life.
Hallelujah.
He'll help you leap into truth, leap into miracles, leap into all the right decisions to make and things to say and all of those holy things that you really want. He'll help you if you'll hang out with him, be close to him. All right, so he shall be in you. Now, turn with me to Ezekiel. I'll just kind of half quote some things we've read recently about the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. Mm-hmm. The only one that knows the things of the Spirit is the Spirit,
right.
And he searches the hearts, and he reveals those things to us through his Spirit. So all the wonderful, unsearchable riches of Christ, which is this gospel and this kingdom, They're exposed to us, unveiled to us by his Spirit.
Right.
So it's a spiritual thing. It's a very spiritual thing. And you know, a lot of Christians just never can get deep enough with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about being weird. I'm not talking about always living in some nebulous zone. I'm talking about you just spending enough time to get in there and get some stuff in you that causes you to leap.
Amen.
Causes you to, when you say Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The Lord said, the Holy Spirit gave me an unction. I know. I mean, just a zeal, just a spark.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit, man, he's in there.
Glory.
So Ezekiel, I said go to Ezekiel, didn't I? Then why aren't you there yet? No, you're there. I know you're there. Ezekiel chapter 36, this was Ezekiel's prophecy predicting that the Holy Spirit would be in you. See, this was the secret promise from the Old Testament. The secret, we could say hidden mystery or promise from the Old Testament was that God was going to put his Spirit in us. Now, it's hard for the natural man, natural mind, to conceive of that and to latch on to it. The natural man says, So in the Old Testament, there was lots of predictions and prophecies about the future. Some of it was for the church age, and some of it was for the millennial reign of Christ when he returns and sets up natural rule in the earth. And so the natural man loves those natural predictions. So all of the unsaved Israelites of the Old Testament, they were thinking, yeah, Messiah's coming. He's going to fix the world, and we're going to rule. They just kind of skipped over the whole Holy Spirit thing. So the whole time they're thinking, yep, this is the Messiah. He's gonna fix the problems we've been having with these Romans. They skipped over the whole Holy Spirit promise because it was a mystery. It was the mysterious promise. It was the hidden promise from the Old Testament. But Ezekiel says it right here. Verse 25, Ezekiel 36, 25, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you." He's talking about the New Testament.
Right.
"I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll keep my judgments and do them." Stop there. "Then you'll dwell in the land that I gave your fathers," etc. But I want you to see, I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Remember another place he says, "I will write my law in your heart. I'll take the stony heart out, put a flesh heart in, and write my law on your heart." So that's for born-again people. Born-again people have the Holy Spirit, and you don't necessarily have to have, you know, a long scroll of do's and don'ts. Now, you need to learn, and you need to learn the scriptures, and those do help us, but the truth is, inside you, you know. I don't need to go. Now, what was that? What was it? Can we hate our enemies or not? Inside you, your spirit man knows. The Holy Spirit has already trained you. And if you'll be sensitive to Him, you can avoid all sins.
Hallelujah.
And live your life in righteousness from now until the end.
Glory. Glory.
Because your heart has been pliable and He's already put this in you. So Holy Spirit was predicted to be in us. All right, now look at Ezekiel chapter 2. This is when Ezekiel is seeing the vision of the cherubims. Everybody know what a cherubim looks like? Everybody know what a cherubim looks like? It's not a fat baby with little wings shooting arrows. It's a big creature with four faces, four wings, eyes all around its head. You've never even seen a picture of a true cherubim because the devil always wants to tickle your eyes with lies. Chapter 2, though. So after he sees this, and he had fallen down before the creatures, and he said to me, chapter 2, verse 1, he said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you." Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. Stop there. Just wanted you to see that term. The Spirit entered me, and he spoke to me and set me on my feet. Listen, you and I need to get familiar with the Holy Spirit setting us on our feet,
right.
Standing us up when we've fallen. We could say leaping up within us on a daily basis. There's so many times in the morning when I'm praying, and it's usually not long, long praying. It's usually just a few minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, could be in the shower, could be in the backyard, could be in the chair, and just praying in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, I realize that I'm standing up. And I'm ready to go. I'm standing up, ready to come to the office, ready to start the day, ready to do something particular. Got an idea, got a movement in my heart, got a leap towards something decent.
Amen.
Pastor Joni will do it too. She'll wake up and she'll have this leap within her concerning people in the church all the time. Just people in there. Woke up with so-and-so. When I wake up, I'm not thinking about any of you people. When I wake up, I'm not thinking about... I'm not open to the people yet. I got things to do with the Holy Spirit. But she's already set up on her feet, And this is just the way God works with everybody a little differently. You need to know that when he sets you on your feet, he enters you and sets you on. Now, he's already in you. And it is amazing that he entered, because he didn't enter very many people in the Old Testament.
Right. Yeah.
But when he entered people in the Old Testament, it wasn't permanent.
Right.
For you and I, it is. For you and I, it is permanent.
Thank you, Lord.
You and I just have to use our faith to know that. We just have to use our faith to recognize we can have all the glory anytime we want it because he's with us. Like you can have joy of the Holy Spirit all day, every day, every day of the week, every month of the year. Did you know that? Did you know that you people could be smiling right now? Did you know that no matter what you're going through, you can be full of joy of the Holy Spirit? He can set you on your feet every moment of every day, every morning, every night. You can all sleep peacefully tonight. You can sleep a full night's sleep tonight in the peace of God because of the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's the solver of every problem. He's God himself. Look at verse 20, chapter 3, verse 20. Then the hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, arise and go out to the plain, and there I'll talk with you. So I arose and went out into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, like the glory which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. And the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and spoke with me and said to me, go shut yourself inside your house. And he said some other things. So those are particular for Ezekiel and what he was called to do, but God will set you on your feet and tell you about what you're called to do. And so we all need these. Now, you're not going to have this happen every morning where he tells some grand thing. You need comfort through life, though. You need direction at different points of your life. You need hopes and dreams cultivated by the Holy Spirit. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll set you on your feet and talk to you about things.
Right.
Remind you about things. It won't happen if you don't pray in the Spirit.
Right.
Or it won't happen much. Or we can say, I can't promise it's going to happen if you don't pray in the Spirit. But if you pray in the Spirit a lot, I promise it will.
Yeah.
If you pray in the Spirit a lot, there's going to come a moment. And when I say pray in the Spirit, I'm talking about praying in tongues. You understand that terminology is kind of missed sometimes by non-Spirit-filled people? Praying in the Holy Spirit equals praying in tongues. How do we know? Because 1 Corinthians 14, Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with my understanding. So praying in or with the Holy Spirit is different than praying with your understanding.
Right.
Praying with or in the Holy Spirit is praying in tongues. Praying with your understanding is praying in a known language. So we see the differentiation that praying in the Spirit is not just being a spiritual person and praying in English or Spanish or whatever. Praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. So if you'll pray in the Spirit, you'll have a chance for all these spiritual manifestations to take place for you. Great confidence, great power, great zeal. Subtle, like the wind blows, but very real. You're not always going to get to burn with everlasting burnings like we just heard the testimony. You're not always going to feel like you're on fire. You're not always going to feel even saved. Because we don't live by feelings. This is spiritual stuff. It's received and kept by faith. But by faith, the Holy Spirit can speak to you, lead you, guide you, use you, solve crises for you, comfort you through them, eliminate fears with you, cause your faith to rise up at the right moment. He entered me and set me on my feet. Praise the Lord. All right. Look at Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Skip down to verse 11. He said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Stop there. I just wanted you to see verse 11 before we read the rest. So these bones are the house of Israel who've lost all hope. You get it? I want you to recognize if there's any correlation to today, it's that people everywhere, non-Christians especially, but even Christians sometimes, feel like just dry, dead bones, lost and hopeless. There might be times in your life one day where you feel like that. You're going to have to know what to do.
Amen.
You're going to have to recognize that, wait a second, I have the Holy Spirit in me.
That's right. Amen.
Therefore, I have all the equipment I need to cause change and to get back up on my feet. Look at verse 2. Then he caused me to pass around them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. Well, I just feel so dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered and said, Oh Lord God, you know. Ezekiel's pretty smart, because God will ask you rhetorical questions. You don't know where he's going with it, so he was smart. You know. Again, he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live.
Hallelujah.
So there's an element of this where you can prophesy to your own self.
Oh yeah. Come on.
You can command your own self. You can command your own body.
Right, right.
You can tell your own body to be healed by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And it won't be just you talking. It'll be the Holy Spirit in you. Remember, the Spirit entered him for these things. So prophesying needs the Holy Spirit, not just your little flappy lips, but you trusting that the power of the Holy Spirit is with you as you confess things or prophesy to something. Verse 6, I'll put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath on you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone.
Glory.
Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. I don't like that word, sinews. Sinews, I don't like it. I think it's ligaments and tissues and something. I don't know. And the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered over them, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, Prophesy to the breath.
Yeah.
Prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army.
Glory!
Now that's an exciting scripture that you and I really, you know, we're not going to emulate what he did to a bunch of dry bones to create some physical army, but we can apply it individually to our lives. I don't even recommend that we, in the Old Testament, I think in a previous chapter, it said prophesy to the mountains. You and I don't need to prophesy to the mountains like they did in the Old Testament. We don't got to prophesy to the daughters of Israel or anything like they did in the Old Testament. We don't have to prophesy on a grand scale to get salvation to occur. We don't even have to prophesy to the north, south, east, and west to get salvations to occur. Jesus never prophesied to the north, south, east, west. None of the apostles ever prophesied all this grand thing to cause things of God to happen. But you can certainly prophesy to the things in your own life. The way that we get things to happen out there is we pray, we intercede, and then we preach. Listen, there are people all over the place that are dry. There are Christians all over this city that are dry.
Amen.
That they don't know, that they're missing out. Some of them kind of know, some of them don't know at all. They all need what we've got.
That's right.
They all need the power of the Holy Spirit. Or their life will never measure up to what God's planned for them. They'll never be fully happy. They'll never experience the joy and peace that comes with the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God. They'll never know how righteous they really are. They'll never know the miracle-working power of the Holy Spirit. They'll miss out on so much unless they can live, unless somebody can get their dry bones to live. People everywhere out there. Sinners have no clue. Listen, I mean almost every single time we're witnessing to somebody, they're ripe. I mean, we know that at the park last weekend, y'all got 112 people saved. People are ripe everywhere.
Yes.
People everywhere are ripe. I would say in every country. Most every country. Okay, at least a few countries. But I can tell you this one for sure. In my mind, I'm thinking I went to Mexico and it was like every single person was open and hungry. I kept telling the pastors, listen, your whole territory is ripe for harvest. They just need somebody to tell them to live. They need somebody to help them get out of darkness into light.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.